welcome to the Lit Duel Podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark Run with Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and why the fuck is it December?
Dev's having a week to remember.
It's always a week.
Although, first up, Dev actually did the title cards this time. Lost was in the midst of moving, and when Dev found out I was just going to use standing cards, he's like, I can try to make cards, just show me some of them. And then she did.
Speed run bullshitting title cards. Fuck yeah.
It's funny. It was like a kind of boring, calm Digimon week, and then stuff sort of got thrown at us that made it slightly less boring and weirder. So first, let's talk about the new episode of Beat Break, Utopia.
Yeah, that fucking Shangri-La egg is creepy as hell.
Well, first up, we get Shademon instead of Eyesmon.
Which I was very happy about.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a bit, because the specific reasons they went with it. But we get the reveal that, you know, not everyone who gets the Shangri-La lives the happy-go-lucky life. Some are thrown out. And then Makoto sneaking into the egg. I like Chiropmon hacking. It's a fun use of a new Digimon.
Like, hack the planet!
I'll also say, did the episode seem better paced than the last few?
Yes, and I was very excited for it.
Yeah. We start to get details about the disaster, but not much. The only real information we get about it is it's suggested that it was some sort of natural disaster, and that feels fake, doesn't it?
It's really vague, because it says, after the disaster, we fucking proofed these giant-ass Tamagotchis against earthquakes and typhoons and all this other weather-related bullshit.
You know what's funny is this, it sounds fake, but it's also like the exact same way they talked about the calamity in Breath of the Wild, and nothing was fake there. It just sounds fake.
Shit, I'm totally fucked.
Yeah. I like the Digimon mentioning the egg smells expensive.
Yeah.
And hey, they're going for a 600,000 credit job.
Which I guess, if converted to yen, give or take, in modern times, is about like $6,000, which that's a pretty good payday.
Oh, see, I took it more as like, around $60,000 or something, because it sounded like it was a huge payday that would let them relax for a while.
Yeah, but considering, like, they don't exactly live in the lap of luxury, and they've taken pretty decent before.
Yeah, you're right. 6,000 would kind of let them lounge for a while. Now, interestingly, Reyna seemed shocked at the idea that people in Shangri-La would have jobs.
I mean, when you think, like, only, like, the richest, bougiest people go to the eggy, and it's just like, you rich people are actually, you know,
It's just kind of like a calm, normal place, or so we're told. I like Gekkomon sitting on the box trying to be like a Sapotama.
He tried his best.
And then a room with gold stink. And then a gold poop. And no one is excited.
I like that Gekkomon's first instinct is like, I'm going to touch it.
Well, no, the funny thing is, not just touch it, but, like, he specifically, like, Dr. Slumps it, where, like, he grabs the stick, and he's going to poke it, and it explodes and makes him gold. That all feels like a Dr. Slump reference. And then, hey, a Makoto eye catch. All the humans had eye catches at this point.
Yep.
If I'm right, it's all four humans and Gekkomon. Have any of the other Digimon gotten them yet?
Not that I recall.
And Gold Numamon and Tropmon attacks and begin to stop. So this is where it gets a bit weird structurally. The characters earlier recognize Makoto. Shademon jumps in to attack Tropmon. Shademon attacks Gold Numamon to control him. And then the girl, like, weirdly, like, smacking Shademon, despite, like, am I wrong or was he doing good?
Was doing his job, but he wanted cuddles.
Yeah. And then the weird thing is we got like the flashback after Makoto's like, knows her. And they kind of didn't.
He just vaguely recognizes her from kindergarten.
Yeah. Then we get not quite detail, but like he's lost everything because of Tropmon. He's not in the egg anymore because of Digimon. He refused to shun it. We get references to the, you know, they've mentioned the mirror thing before. Then the girl really does not fucking like that.
Girl, you're destined to, like, shop at Hot Topic with that Digimon.
Yeah, we also get an explanation of the high-end block, and he committed fraud, and they were thrown out.
Yeah, it's like, let's exile you and your entire family.
Then we see Shademon controlling more people as they, like, it's weird, like, she's not, like, sitting and eating. She's just, like, eating directly out of the fridge, like, not even sort of relaxing.
She's just feral. And we appreciate that.
That's the weird thing. It doesn't feel feral. It feels more like it just doesn't even occur to her that she can go sit down. Like they were thrown out of there, so it's not someplace she would sit. If that makes sense. And then they find out from... I don't remember the person's name. The mission guy that Trotmon's worth a lot of money.
It's like, oh, those are good at analyzing things, which means there's more of them floating around somewhere.
Can we appreciate, then, that we get to see the Shangri-La, like, the trash room, and it's all organized really nicely for some reason?
Like, even your shit is fancy.
Yeah, and then Dropmon's trying to protect Makoto. And he clearly is not handling any mention of Makoto being thrown out because of him, which Makoto clearly does not think that way. And Shademon grabs him.
Like, oh no, baby.
Then she has Trotmon pop out the Sapatama and stuffs it with E-Pulse. And then we get the scene where, like, they're jumping to attack him. They do a pretty powerful burst. And then the episode ends. So,
and Trotmon unhinges his jaws like it's a fucking Tokemon.
You know, I didn't even think about that connection. Because it just felt kind of like a... It felt more like, in movie 3 when Terrormon's jumping and spitting the blasts.
Ah, yeah.
To me. So I'd say this one, solid. Some good world-building stuff. They detailed some stuff that had been hinted at. We also get our first actual information about Makoto, which is weird because, like, we don't even know that much about Reyna, and she got a focus episode.
Yeah, all that came up is just like, oh, she got passed from...
place to place.
Cleaner team to cleaner team, and...
Yeah, this one...
And Makoto's just there.
We got stuff. It feels to me more like an appetizer for the next one. Like, the episode is good on its own, but if the next episode isn't good, this one kind of retroactively becomes bad.
They better not fuck up the next episode.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be good. And it feels like we're at the point where, like, stuff will get started. And then for cast stuff, so Shademon is Koki Miata, which he's been with Digimon basically since me. He was Pico Devimon in Adventure.
Yeah.
He was also one of the Bakemon and one of the Gekkomon in Adventure.
Oh, nice.
In Tamers, he was Kumhiramon. That's the rat one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And in Ghost Game, he was Drakumon, which I recall we all are like, oh, they're having him play him? That's going to be something important. And then we never saw him again. Some of his bigger roles are Koda and Bakken Test, Aichiro and Free, Terafumi and Yoamushi Petal. And are you ready for some dubbed over content, Dev?
Yes.
Okay. He's Minkus in Boy Meets World.
Just anything in Boy Meets World is weird.
Oh, it gets better. He's Phineas in Phineas and Ferb.
Okay, that's beautiful.
He's Beast Boy in Teen Titans.
So he basically just gets roles where he's an agent of chaos.
Oh, it gets funnier. There's been a few voices in Japan for this next character. He's SpongeBob SquarePants.
Dear God, why?
Now, for Gold Numamon, it's Digimon royalty. Masami Kikuchi.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Masami Kikuchi has so many Digimon characters, I didn't even list non-Digimon characters, and he still had too many. So...
Look, he has won basically every fucking series.
So he's Joe in Adventure in 02, he's Demon in 02, he's Dolphin in Granny and Tamers, he's Nemon and the narrator in Frontier, he returned as Nemon in 2020, he's Karada in Belphamon Rage Mode and Savers, he's Damemon in Suarmon in Cross Wars, he was Ryudamon in Ghost Game, and he had so many other roles I did not even try to list them because, like, he just has too many in Digimon. And if you go to his non-Digimon roles, it's non...
Bullshit.
Yeah, like, you start with Tenchi and then it never stops, basically.
It's a wall of text.
Yeah. Haruko was Hitomi Owada. She was the Poochimon in 2020, and she had a few bit roles in Ghost Game. She's Claudia in Altair Rise of the Games and the anime. Ryoko and Demon Girl Next Door, Midori and Shirobako, and Miyu and Planet With. Yoshimitsu Shimomiya was Yamada. The first Digimon role, he was Gutsman and Rockman EXE and Deshin Ranking of Kings.
Good.
And last up was Hisayoshi Suganuma was Hina. First Digimon role, he's Fred and Black Butler, Joey and Blue Gender, Atsushi and Natsumi's Book of Friends, Lindbergh in One Piece, and Shiro in everyone's favorite show, World Trigger.
Yay!
Yeah, lots and lots of guests this time. And next time, episode 10, A True Friend, which 99% of the preview you can skip, because, you know, short preview, but it's like, oh, they're doing the Nene thing, which is very much a Shademon thing.
Like, yes! That is what I was very hyped for when they brought up Shademon.
Now, would you like the most hilarious thing possible to point out?
Yes.
So a human's going to get to Digivolve before the Digimon are going to.
I thought you were going to point out that the seiyuu for the girl this episode is actually married to the voice actor for Kyo.
I don't remember if I knew that or not. I vaguely recall reading something about one of the guests, but it was one of those things where I had so much stuff to do on the weekend, I think I missed it.
Yep.
And yes, chat is like, please evolve Trotmon, please. Look, the girl has to evolve first before we get to see a Digimon evolve. It feels like that is a bit of a punch in the throat, isn't it? Just a bit.
She deserves it for just having a Shademon.
And then let's see. Then we get some beat break art. So we got production art from episode 8 with animation director corrections. We got a line test video of Tomuro and Gekkomon from episode 8. And then from episode 4, we got a very big batch of storyboard and direction information for the flashback scene.
I really like the flashback storyboards.
I especially like the one right before the flashback where it's just Pristimon on Reyna's head.
Yes.
I will say Beat Break is probably where we've gotten to see the most production art as it goes and not just line art later on. So it's very neat to be getting all that.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that would be in like a compilation art book at some
point. See, a lot of this actually probably wouldn't make it in a compilation art book, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
it's mostly like the
movies have that, basically.
Yeah, it's been good to see all that. And then Liberator, which, hey, I like Zeno being surprised at Medieval Dukemon, but so this is where I don't know if it's just because I'm not as connected to card games as other people, but does it feel like the, like, that where they stop and they start doing the true meaning of strength, it's a borrowed card, it's friends, does it feel like it kind of doesn't fit when we have not seen all that much of that with Shoto and Owen specifically in the comic? Like, it does come up, especially as they've dealt with their issues. It feels a little bit too much power friendship.
Yeah.
And then I like the visual as they jump into the Starakomon evolution. That was great.
Yeah. I just had, like, Zoids vibes the entire time. It was glorious.
And then I will say one of the moments I liked was when the match was over, Owen trying to reach out his hand to try to, like, I can show you what's, and like, that's why they had to do the whole spiel earlier. We get a nice solid,
like, let me show you the power of friend.
And I especially like that where it integrates something specific to Digimon. The Digimon takes his hand and then reaches out to Owen. I like that. And then Unchained pops up to tell us we're almost done with Liberator. It does feel like that, doesn't it? Like, it feels like we're so close to being done. Like, especially with a set in February, it really does feel like that could just be it. Especially since, with Eliason popping up soon, you'd expect something to swap over to that.
Yeah, have that be the main driving, story narrative.
Yeah. And then, to talk about just being confused all of a sudden, on Friday, the BBC put up listings on iPlayer that Ghost Game was going to be on iPlayer on December 1st. Now,
surprise, bitch.
Well, first, let's go over the history of this dub, just because, technically speaking, it had never been officially announced until today. Just to clarify. So, a while ago, we got a listing of basically someone doing casting notices. And it was very clearly for Ghost Game. And that was two-ish years ago. But, you know, that could be a pilot dub. That could be a marketing dub. That may not be an actual dub we are going to see.
Sometimes it's just like one or two episodes that just get shopped around to other...
Yeah, it's sort of like the marketing dub for Cross Wars. We've never seen... I don't think we've ever actually seen a clip from it. The one that William Winkler Productions did, like... The only clip we've ever seen of that is we saw the opening, which was like an instrumental version of the theme song. But we've never seen anything of the dub. And then earlier this year, J-LOX, which is a subsidy program out of Japan, had put that they were funding, at the time, 33 episodes of a dub. And the same J-LOX info said that Toei Europe was going to launch it in the UK and Ireland before the year was over. And that was all the information we had. Now, at that point,
we forgot about it.
Now, at that point, that tells us a dub is 100% happening. Because subsidy programs like that are very specifically like culture programs to make sure that dubs for things get paid for where and get done to certain technical specifications and whatnot. So once that's happening, the dub's happening. So once that was said, there was almost no chance of there not being a dub. And then... dub shows up Monday, it's all of it. Now, the weird thing is, at least in the original J-LOX notice, they'd only talked about the subsidy being used for 33 episodes. That may have just made it cheaper for Toei to do. So dub is up. Every episode of Ghost Game, not the one clip show special, which had no episode number anyways. They don't consider that like an episode of the series. It's like a random special. It's on BBC iPlayer in the United Kingdom. So before we get to some of the weird stuff, it was recorded at Transperfect Media, which is a studio, Los Angeles. They also have little satellite studios all around the world, and that's relevant for a few reasons. So first up, the cast is mostly LA people, which I think fits in with every bit of information we always had. Mostly people who are not previously in Digimon dubs, although there are a few familiar names, most notably Zeno Robinson and Bryce Papenbrook. And a number of names people recognize from various games and stuff. Probably the one that most people noticed, well, two. First was Kiyoshi Hiro's actor was Sean Chiplock. That's, I can't remember.
Sonic Mega.
No, the bird from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Revali.
Yeah, Revali from Breath of the Wild.
And also Teba.
Yeah.
And the tree.
And the Ghost Navigator is Talon Warburton.
That is not familiar to me.
Think of the name Warburton specifically. It's his son, I believe. Patrick Warburton's son.
Doesn't ring a bell. I'm a recluse.
If you heard his voice, Joe from Family Guy.
Oh, okay.
He shows up in a lot of stuff, and yeah, if you saw a picture of him, you'd go, oh, that guy. And I'm grabbing a picture for Dev and chat right now, just in case you aren't familiar with Patrick Warburton. There you go, Dev.
Okay, he's vaguely familiar, and yeah, I am face blind as shit.
Chat is pointing out that he's Kronk from The Emperor's New Groove.
Now he gets all of my respect.
Yeah. So, entire dub is there. New dub director, which is Laura Chatterjee, who does work Transperfect, as you expect. The opening is dubbed. Most of the singers for that are French dubbers. I think one or two aren't, but French anime dubs, theme songs, never really have worked on French Pokemon themes.
Neat.
Now, here's the weird thing, and a few people have been able to clarify details of this. It's in PAL.
Okay.
Now, someone clarified that iPlayer converts everything to fit in 50 FPS. And then a number of people are trying to argue with me that it is not PAL because PAL is a TV broadcast standard and this is not TV broadcast. I don't care that it's PAL. So it's 25 FPS sped up from 24 FPS. Because it has not broadcast anywhere else yet, we don't know if it was dubbed at 25 FPS and they would have to convert it back, or more realistically, dubbed at 24 FPS and just sped up for the BBC. So the opening is dubbed, the endings are not, and the inserts are not.
Huh.
The video appears to basically be 1-1 with the Japanese, with a couple of exceptions. It does not have the little Toei logo of Pero at the beginning. If anyone doesn't know Pero, that's the Puss in Boots character, that's their logo. And then they have swapped out the logo for that English Ghost Game logo they were using in places.
Okay.
Which, mostly the same. And Chad's asking, were the non-opening songs from 2020 dubbed? The insert songs, I don't think they were. I don't remember. The EDs, they only used 3 of the EDs instead of 6, and they dubbed the 3 they used. Yeah. They have translated signs on the opening and ending, but otherwise it is Ghost Game as it was, just dubbed. A number of people have noted the scripts appear very much to just be like basically just the subtitles that Toei had already made. I've yet to see anyone point out any major differences. Those were already pseudo-localized anyways, and people are mentioning it actually has honorifics and everything in the dub.
Check that out.
Yeah, Transperfect is not considered one of the better dubbers. They generally don't... They're not an anime dubber, for lack of a better phrase. So far, it appears to be fine. Have not watched in detail, as you would expect. I would expect this probably to show up somewhere sooner rather than later in the West. Yeah, and in chat, they're saying a lot of the Transperfect dubs are done in South Africa. Transperfect has studios all over the place. It's basically budgeted to where it needs to be for the recording. Here, they probably contractually were told it had to be like U.S. standard English. So most of it was done in Los Angeles with Los Angeles-based actors, from what we can tell. The biggest non-LA thing was the opening, which clearly has been done with French dubbers and English.
Oui.
Yeah. So it's not there. I kind of hope they did dub that special, though. Because seeing him there with the hat, just dubbed over would be good. Yeah, so not much more to say about that until we see it. And hopefully that will be soon, though. And hopefully not without the timing oddities. Oh, you'll enjoy this, Dev. When I mentioned to someone who's much better with video than I am about the people trying to nitpick it not being PAL, this is someone who works with video like dozens of hours every week, could blow away even my video knowledge. You know what the response was about it?
LOL.
No, they sound like the puppets on Tecmoan. For anyone who watches YouTube tech videos and has seen Tecmoan videos, which are some of the best ones, he will occasionally have puppets and like do Muppet skits where they're just like nitpicking things to death and not making sense. Which is amusing. So yeah, so Ghost Game dub is out there. Hopefully, we'll be streaming other places soon. I assume Toei slightly threw it off by Microsoft Movies and TV closing because they clearly had a deal with them for many years where a number of Toei dubs would premiere there first, and they probably were getting a heavy amount of money from that. Like, even One Piece episodes would premiere there dubbed. And, and since someone asked in chat about liking the dub or not, generally, it appears it's eh. Like, it's fine. It's basically, do people like the voices or not? The dub quality on the whole appears to be lower than we're generally accustomed to, because the worst Digimon dubs have been acted and cast very well. This one appears to be slightly blander, which that is to some people's tastes. I'm not hearing much in the way of heavy complaints yet, but we're also like less than 24 hours from when it launched, so it's hard to tell. It feels like people are generally happy with it, though. That may just be UK fans excited that they're actually getting something without waiting years and years and years, though. Because, it's hard to tell. I think people like it, though. And then, moving on from that, for Time Stranger, Terrymon Assistant got an episode doing a roundtable with producer Hara and director Tomono. I will say, the one thing going over this, does it feel like a lot of stuff in the game, they like just... And because it's something they've talked about where they just kept redoing stuff over and over. And at the end, it feels kind of like some stuff they spent too much time on that wasn't needed.
Yeah. But again, it's been in production for a long ass time in general.
Yeah. And they actually talked about like in an earlier, like in the early test prototype of the game, the cafe was the opening scene. That's why the cafe looks so nice.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. this is really one that we kind of can't go over. It kind of has to be watched because they spend so much time discussing it, but a lot of good stuff. Like, the one thing I will say, I like how they point out that Hiroko did not have her own music originally. And they explained to the composer that none of the music felt like it fit her. They explained what they were going for, and then, like, she just busted out a song for it.
That's funny.
Then we get a preview of Alter B. That is very good art for that version of Omegamon.
It looks badass, and I enjoy the pose.
And we get a clip for Zwart Defeat.
Owl the Edge.
You know what the main issue I have with Zwart Defeat? They put the clip up.
Everything is so dark, it just looks like a blob.
No, so they put the clip up, and I'm reading the text. I'm like, Supreme Canon? I'm like, isn't that swapped? It's like, no, wait, Zwart Defeat does have them on the same side as Omegamon. It's when he becomes Alter B that the weapons swap.
Ah, okay.
Because there's so many Omegamons at this point, you have to think about some of this stuff.
Look, they all just blur together. It's like goth, not goth, prep version.
Look, it's very smart, though, to have the first DLC to advertise it around just being, hey, Omegamon, Omegamon, Omegamon. And then,
you know, it's just going to print money.
And then we get cards. So first up, Sylphimon. I love that the number of scenes they're doing of just random shit around Central Town.
I like looking at all like the little details in the background, and also the Punimon is precious.
The poster's nice. The only issue I have with the promo poster is by the time we saw it, I don't think anything here was new, minus Inori.
Even she doesn't look new.
No, I mean in the sense of the art is new, even if it's like in the style of stuff we've already seen. Then we want Wanyamon looks great. That is fantastic.
I can just imagine him tormenting the Royal Knights.
And then Bakuman also. The Bakuman card's really nice, but that they did it at Wanyamon at the same time. I just keep like, Wanyamon's nice, but you go over there so I can look at Wanyamon.
Yes.
Then we get Throne Room Preview. So, what's weird about this one, I really like it. Does it feel more like it's like prototype art or something, just from the art style, I mean?
Zooming in, yeah, I get that. Where it's a little more on the sketchy side for the... Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I think that's just artsy, and I like it. I'm just commenting it feels the way... And then, okay, so... Okay, first off, can we just put... The Gigimon art is very, very good. But anytime I look at it, it reminds me of Peter Griffin's face from that time Family Guy did the Disney parody.
No.
You see it now, too, since I mentioned it, don't you?
It's cursed. No, why would you ruin Gigimon like that?
And then Elizamon. This one is like the same style, but it feels different. I like it. Although, weirdly, does it feel like we've got a lot of Elizamon cards lately where it feels like it doesn't quite fit the personality of the only Elizamon we know?
Yes, because she's kind of a sassy bitch, and this one's just frolicking happily in a field with babies.
And then Card Battle has Sayaka Kano return to Digimon Card Battle. She's the one who, when they brought Card Battle back, they're like, she's still on it. She's just on hiatus from live appearances, so you won't see her for a while. Nothing much more exciting than just, you know, having someone back. I hope they go back to the full room one soon, though.
I like this one actually had subtitles.
Yeah, I'm happy. Most of them lately have had subtitles. Every once in a while, they'll be like, this one's going to be something interesting, so we're not doing subtitles, and it'll just be 45 seconds of Yuki talking about an event.
And I just skipped those entirely.
Then we get Starakomon and Parallel Alt. So here's the thing. The main art is from Koki. It's a profile shot. I think this is the first time everyone realized, like, a lot of people notice it from the profile art. This is the first one that most people noticed, that it's a Tyrant Kabu Terrymon situation with the head.
Yeah.
That is always a trippy one, honestly.
It's like, oh, wait, oh, that's an eye in its mouth. Oh, okay.
Then the parallel art is really good action art. It's not quite fancy enough for us to joke that it could be Model Kit Box, but I like it. And then
that kind of like Model Kit Box art is sometimes like a little more like stationary.
Yeah, this is a bit more actiony. Also, the Model Kit Box ones, very often they have people doing the Gundam pose.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Blimpmon and Master Blimpmon. I don't have a lot to say about these. They're nice. I just don't have much to say.
I mean, there's not much they can do.
They look
just kind of tilt them around.
I think the weird thing is the shot of Blimpmon, the amount of detail in the back, like you can see the little Gabumon. I like the level of detail. And then Vadimon, I think this is a mission from early in the game when you first learn about the Outer Dungeon in Time Stranger. And when the card went up, everyone points out that one of them, clearly the voice in the game, is meant to be an imitation of Roger from American Dad.
Oh, God.
Which really just makes you want to talk about Pecan Sandies.
I can't unsee this. Well, unhear it.
Yeah, I can't do the... It wouldn't have... I have nothing to say about Tapmon, minus the one behind looks like Tokomon.
All teeth.
With the teeth. Hackmon, we get him hacking. It's funny. The Atmon version of Hackmon is one that I feel like at some point we will see non-cartoony art of. And unless it's done just perfect, we're both going to go, oh, that doesn't look right.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he's so cute, and he has the fucking pinata-sized head is part of the issue.
That's why he's so cute.
Then we get Peepomon, which that kind of just like a calmer version of its profile. Also, when you look at him,
disturbing.
Do you feel like he's doing drugs?
Yes.
And
he's
then,
had a lot of cocaine.
And then Protectmon is also inspired by its profile art, but we get a nice action-y shot version of it. I like it. What's weird is I can never recall if I've seen... I really can't recall if I've seen Protectmon before. Like, I'm sure he's in Atmon stuff. I just can't think of it at all.
A lot of them just blur together.
And I had turned off the card one and had to turn it back on because I realized we're still on cards. So, card for Demon X... And God bless them for still using that fucking horrible Creepymon name. The Bandai USA will not. Yeah, just use Daemon. Everyone's fine with it.
No one's going to burn you at the stake. Yeah.
So we get Demon with. That is a very, very pronounced chest. And then we get Model Kit Box.
Yes, that. That and the model kit boxes always kind of have like this sort of like brown tone in the background.
I think because they're meant to stand out on shelves with other colorful toys around. Then we get 7th Graviton, which is Demon X firing lasers from everything. Also, we don't see Demon X a lot, but have we seen him laugh before?
No, and also that very specific pose is reminding me of another character. But I'm blanking on it.
Yeah, it feels... you know what it feels like? The cannons from Belial Vamdemon.
True, but I'm thinking like it was mostly like the way his face is. It reminds me of like another character. I think from like some sort of like cartoon or whatever, but I'm blanking on.
I feel like that face looks like a number of Toku villains. Like from various Super Sentai, Power Rangers, that sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe it's all just blurring together.
And then... Bless us, it's Pico Devimon. So the weird thing about Pico Devimon and Evilmon and Skullsatamon, which these are all clearly like, you know, family type cards, do they all look like 90s or early 2000s toy box art? Like you would buy
I can kind of see that.
Like you would buy the toy and would have art of the character in the corner that was brand new, drawn just for that. It feels like that so much.
Especially the coloring, where it's almost kind of like colored pencil plus like a little bit of dithering.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least on Pico Devimon.
Yeah. The one with the most personality is probably Vilemon, but I can't tell if that's personality or just how Vilemon looks.
I think that's just how he looks, because I think their eyes are just always like that, just
and gremlin. And then Shellmon. Although, since someone mentioned it, I can't not see it. Does it look like Shellmon's giving like an evil speech?
He's asking to see the manager.
That is it for cards. And then, new official poll has opened up. Your favorite Digimon event in 2025. I feel like, if we were to guess, it will be Time Stranger, Beat Break, D3, Godzilla, Cross Wars, Pendulum, Beyond Expo. If I were to roughly guess an order.
At this point, like...
Like Time Stranger's gonna win. Like, I have little doubt of that one.
Yeah, Beat Break in second.
I think the Godzilla one's so cool, though. The pendulum one's weird because is that out yet?
I don't.
Pendulum, I don't think is. Cross Wars, I'm 99% sure, is not out yet.
I think that's still on pre-order. I think for March.
Pre-orders have closed, but you may be right about being March.
That or something else I was looking at gets released in March.
Okay, others are saying December 25th for the new Pendulums. The Cross Wars one is February. So the Pendulum sneaks in, but it does feel like it's a bit hard to, like, I mean, the voting closes, like, tomorrow. So, yeah. Okay, now they're asking us, ignoring which will win, which do we think should win? See, I'm trying to decide, like, for pure coolness, is there anything cooler than the Godzilla stuff this year, honestly?
There isn't, but also it's kind of like they're kind of splitting Godzilla between, like, the figure and the...
Well, no, that's the thing, they picture those separately, but there is only one Godzilla vote section.
Oh, okay, yeah, Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla, based on the categories as is, I think me and Dev are agreed that, like, Godzilla is the coolest, but you can't beat a new game. Especially one that, whether it's accurate or not, has been in people's minds for almost a decade. Like, you're just not going to beat them.
Also, my friends have started just, like, picking up Digimon because they heard the game was kind of neat, and they like it, so...
I guess Godzilla gets another chance next year since they're doing a second Godzilla collaboration. But yeah, we'll see.
I will freak the fuck out if they make any kind of King Ghidorah fusions.
It feels like the Meta Knight in chat, hold on to that question for questions and remind us about that one. That's a very good question. And then we have the weekend smaller bet, so we get a reference book update for Starakumon. That is really nice art. Maybe a little too Iron Man for me.
I would have chosen a slightly different pose, because it's just kind of standing there, but I get it. It's the profile.
Yeah, it's often the standing there. Then the last weekend of the Digimon pop-up shop at the Bandai Namco Cross Stores in the UK, they post a little promo clip. UK fans seem to be very pleased to have two pop-up shops for Digimon. They've had a good... UK fans have had a good year.
They're eating well, comparatively.
Ayumi Miyazaki posted a bunch of photos from Aniex in Thailand, noting everyone was enthusiastic. He said the cheers put him at ease in a new place. He even met fans who said they'd previously met him at concerts in Shibuya in 2019 and the Wada Koji tribute concert, which at this point, that was last year at this point, right? Because the seat...
That's like 2 years ago.
No, I think that was last year. I think that was last year and the CD came out earlier this year.
The CD was last year.
1 second. I want to check that because now I'm actually confused. Wada Koji. When was that?
I want to say 2020.
I'm sorry, that was this year?
What?
The concert was this year, not the CD release, the actual concert. It was January.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the concert was January, the CD, the retail version of the CD was later, but yes, that was this year, Dev. That's why we're both confused and, like, we're both like, oh, the other person's wrong. It's because it was actually this year. This year's just been so fucking long, we couldn't tell.
Fuck this entire year.
Umi Miyazaki also posted a photo of him meeting Rika Matsumoto, the voice of Satoshi / Ash in Pokemon, who does a lot of the songs. He called it Pokemon meets Digimon.
I like how they're wearing, like, red and bluish colors, respectively.
And he also said that the night was filled with memories of talking about Wada Koji, because I guess she knew him also.
Makes sense.
Then Kenji Watanabe posted a photo of him at his booth at Sunshine Esports Fest, which is at a university, where he talked with fans, signed stuff, and he also thanked the staff. I will say...
I think he was wearing that hat when he was in Philly.
I think he wears that hat to a lot of places, but I will say, do you like that as he's getting older, he's started to, like, properly, like, pose for photos? Like, it feels like old photos we have of him, he was, like, the old guy standing there. And now he's like, now he's like doing his best to actually, like, pose.
He just looks tired to me.
To be fair, like, I think this is at the beginning after setting everything up. That is already being tired.
Yeah.
And then they showed the Agumon statue at Bandai headquarters. They've put a Santa hat on it.
Is it technically Santa Agumon now?
Yes. And also they point out that they framed the picture to show Mamachi and Mimichi from Tamagotchi in it. To have all
they
three of them.
They are very cute and they look very delighted.
Also, is the neck cracking or is that like a band holding on the hat?
That's a bungee cord.
Okay, that's what I thought, but like at that angle, it's almost like, oh, was it cracking? It's like, and that's like, you know, that's
a new
statue.
It's one of those, that's a bungee cord on with the little C connectors on it.
Okay, that's what I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. And then for our card game fans, art of Elizamon and Agumon. For the record, I think the best part of this art is Agumon, like with that annoyed look.
Stop telling me I'm old.
Does Fogey have an E in it?
I always thought it did, but...
One sec. Okay, it's both. You can spell it either way.
Ah, okay.
And then Liberator artwork from staff who work on Digimon Liberator. Usagi Bochi, really good art of Starakumon. And also Owen in the reflection.
I was going to say, the reflection looks really badass.
It does, but also less so when you think about how does that reflection work? Because that
it
would,
doesn't fuck you.
Yeah. And then Tomo 01 drew, we get Owen with a... that is Starakumon in the back, correct?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It is, but like with the lines, I kept looking. I'm like, I think I see the head right there, like right by his finger.
Yes, it is. But if you kind of like squint, it makes it a little easier to see.
That's what I thought was happening. But also like when you're like staring at it intently, it makes it worse. Like it's great art, yeah. But like your brain doesn't focus on it properly. And then from Digimon
Beat Break. Yeah, all the lines going through it and everything.
Yeah. Then from Digimon Beat Break, we get the director of the series showed off a Makoto-themed area in the office for the episode. And one of the key
adorable.
And one of the key animators did art of Reina and Wolvermon for the last episode, and it just got posted after we already did the weekend post last time. Yeah. That is really good art of Reina and Wolvermon, but am I wrong? Or does Reina not quite look like a Beat Break character in this art? Like something about the face and the chin?
Hard to say.
I really like the art, regardless, though. And then some more Beat Break art. The character designer for Beat Break put up art of Yoshimura to celebrate the episode. He posted it earlier in the day, probably because he was going to be busy, so it is not focused on episode 9 to not spoil anything. And then one of the animators posted art of Tomuro in his disguise.
He's got to go clean up turds now.
Am I wrong, or does the outfit fit him better in this art than in the episode?
It does.
Yeah. And Tiny Iron Fist points on chat, Yoshimura is not actually in the episode. So that's a great way to not spoil anything. Just not in there at all. Okay, and Meta Knight says it looks less baggy on Tomuro in the artwork. Okay, that would be why I thought that. And then time for questions. So over in the chat, you guys can throw up your questions. The first one sent in earlier was, when we finally start getting evolutions in Digimon Beat Break, do you think it'll be as grand a scene as others we waited for, like Anshimon? I feel like if only Gekkomon wasn't getting it, yes. But at this point, is it just going to kind of feel like, oh, we waited long enough?
Yeah, it's just like, aside from, like, Wolvermon, that's... we ain't got shit.
But even Wolvermon doesn't get evolution scenes. She's just there. Like, they swap the camera to another scene, and when they swap back, it's Wolvermon. Like, ignoring episode 1 in the beginning, how many times have we seen that evolution scene? Have we actually seen it in an
fucking
episode?
Zero.
Is it actually zero? We didn't get it in, like, episode 2 or 3?
I do not remember seeing it.
Yeah, so, like...
my memory is absolute shit, but...
you know, like, maybe Gekkomon's first will be special. I don't know if it's going to feel special... wait, I'm trying to think of like the only reason like Shoutmon's first felt special was there was such a setup to evolution not working and them using Digicross as a way around it that when we saw evolution it was special. Here it is a normal thing, it's just not being used for reasons that aren't there.
Yeah. It's like enemy Digimon can evolve on screen, but, you know.
Okay. Okay, Stark has a very good and relevant question. Do you prefer when a Digimon is designed to look very precisely like it fits into its particular line, when it's designed to be more general purpose and fit into a wide variety of lines? So this is something that comes up a lot with fans. And you very often get people like who go say, like, there aren't specific lines. Those people are also very...
this one's official.
Those people were very upset that Starakomon did not look enough like Elizamon. I think...
It's pink, shut up.
I think it's... Does it feel like it fits more so than anything else? For me, that is. Like, I'm not bothered by this in the least, because it's sort of like... Okay, the evolutions for Elizamon are, for lack of a better phrase, they all feel very Ojo-sama themed, like they're meant to look like pretty and fancy, and then she goes and kicks ass. So then the final bonus one is, what if she turns into a fucking tank? So
gives me Jellymon vibes.
Yeah, it feels like it fits the character, even if the art itself does not look like a literal evolution. Like, it makes sense to me based on what we've seen of the character. So to me, it fits either setup.
As long as it vibes,
yeah,
that, I'm good for anything.
Yeah. The next question someone sent in, Dev, was, did we get any Black Friday deals?
Yes.
Can you tell, Dev? Do you want to tell them what you got, Dev?
I kind of finally broke down and replaced my broken ass Microsoft Surface 6 with a wherever the fuck the new one is.
I think
it's purple.
Yeah, Dev, I remember when you saw it, you're like, you're thinking about getting it because the price is good, you really want to place it good. And then I think like an hour later you mentioned me like, I'm getting it tomorrow.
It's like I consulted with my various friend groups and they're all like, dear, just fucking get it.
Yeah.
For your sanity. Just get thing to make art. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I did get a good deal on my niece's present, so.
Yeah, I've grabbed presents for people, and yeah. The funny part is, the stuff that I've actually gotten from Black Friday is all, like, weird basic shit. Like, I went to check, like, my Amazon orders. I've technically only ordered two things in that time period. Would you like to know what they are, Dev?
Is it more tonic water?
No. I got enough tonic water. It was 70 Velcro cable straps for $2.
Oh, that's actually really good.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I used that to move where some power cables were on my desk. Instead of being by my feet, they're on like the back end now. And then
yay,
I decided, then they... finally sent the shipping notice for. So, Dev, would you like, this is before I tell you what I got, would you like to be amused?
Yes.
A year ago, Intellivision sold the rights to everything Intellivision.
I vaguely remember you mentioning that.
Yeah. So, the company that became Intellivision decided they would keep going as Amico, and they were dedicated to that terrible shit console that we've made fun of for years. That still is not out.
Yeah.
So everything Intellivision was sold to Atari. In a year, Atari has made an Intellivision reproduction console with wireless controls and everything in my pre-order ship, because I actually want one of those. And one of the things they said was that if you get homebrew or, you know, third-party games or whatever, you can load them onto a flash drive, plug it in, and be able to play them. And the Intellivision has a pain-in-the-ass controller, so you don't really want, like, a normal game controller. You want that pain-in-the-ass, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so
you want to suffer.
So I decided I will get a flash drive on sale. I got a nice 128-gig flash drive for $16. Because you're not really going to get smaller than that, like, you're not going to save money, blah. Now, here's the thing. I think every Intellivision homebrew that I own, which I own a few, which I've bought, is, like, under a meg. I think, like, every Intellivision game ever, including homebrews, would be under 10 megs.
So it would all just fit on the one.
Yes. Yeah, and I grabbed a few movies from Walmart. Nothing super crazy. Definitely.
I was looking at is like $30 cheaper. I will acquire this for the small child that I am related to.
Yeah, I've definitely grabbed some Steam games. In chat, they're asking, how are we watching Ghost Game? We're not. We're just commenting on what we've seen in clips. Then someone said they were just starting to collect Blu-rays. They're wondering if any Digimon disc would be considered what people call reference quality. So here's the thing. Reference quality can mean one of two things. One, the video and audio is so immaculate that it is perfect. It is a great example of video and audio on a disc. Most Digimon stuff would not fit into that just because of what it is like. I think you could argue Kizuna, the beginning, looks nice enough that it might fit, but there's so many examples of just like awe-inspiring anime audio video, it's hard to say Digimon would be any of that. The other one would be you get a disc and it just has so much stuff, especially stuff you didn't expect to get. I feel like the remastered upscales of Season 1 and Season 2 could fit into that. Or even the movie disc just has extras, different versions. That could fit into it, I feel like. But I feel like if you're collecting...
Also, they're all on sale.
Yes. I don't get paid for them if you buy them, but they're definitely all on sale. Yeah, I...
Correct, more people with Digimon.
More Digimon Blu-rays. Then someone said, how are you feeling about Beat Break at this point, since it's a bit into it and about Digimon the brand as well? Beat Break at the moment is fine. It feels like it does need to... I would like it to soon hit the point of shit or get off the pot.
Honestly, same. It's just like, please get into more suffering.
Yeah,
to destroy these characters.
Yeah, at the moment, it's at the point of it's suggesting some cool big stuff, but also it's been over 2 months of that at this point. At some point, if you're going to do the, oh, there's the disaster, they're sneaking into the magical golden egg. I don't necessarily need them to get to a climax, but I do need it to stop being, oh, here's a few hints as they, you know, goof around in an episode. I would like something to happen. Yeah, and in chat they're saying like a plot twist or a wham or do something that matters.
I want explosions.
We ended on an explosion. If they follow up on that, that'd be awesome.
I mean, hey, my friends are excited for Kyo to get potentially shot next episode.
We'll see. I'm trying to decide if I expect that to actually happen or not.
They're not in America. Probably won't.
Let's see. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, last chance for chat if you have any questions. Oh, what do you think the next Digimon crossover Digivice will be? Some of them are guessing Gundam.
Oh, that actually would be kind of interesting. Oh, wait, no. Zoids? That would be cool.
I have an idea. I may have mentioned this last week or the week before because I vaguely recall. I feel like the obvious choice for one would be Metabots.
You did mention that.
Because we got it as the Vital Bracelet. It feels like doing it as an actual V-Pet would be the next solution.
Yeah, they already have stuff to work with.
Yeah. But brands that they haven't, what would be an obvious one? Oh, I thought of a terrible one. Oh, Dev, you would hate this so fucking much if it happened. They'd be like just taking your fucking wallet. Are you ready?
Oh, no.
Hatsune Miku.
I already thought of it. I know.
Because, like, can't you think of them doing that? Like, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've already done multiple
Hatsune Miku collabs things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have them. I have them all.
I remember the time when you messaged me from Hot Top, and you're like, they have the Hatsune Miku art from Japan on water bottles and shirts. Or it wasn't shirts, it was...
It's like a little water, plastic water tumbler thing.
No, actually. I remember that. But wasn't there like a shirt or something? Was there something else?
Yes. There was definitely shirts. Several, actually.
Yeah, I just remember you messaging me like, it was roughly along the lines of, these fuckers are trying to take my money.
Look, I'm looking at that fucking plastic ass cup right now. It has never had any kind of liquid in it. It's just been sitting on the shelf with my various Digimon bullshit.
Would you like the example, the suggestions chat gave for the crossover?
Or no.
Zoids with a Liger Zero Garurumon and Transformers. See, Transformers is very possible because Hasbro are kind of whores for crossovers nowadays. Have you seen how many Transformer crossovers there are?
I walked into Target the other day, and there is Sonic the fucking Hedgehog Transformers.
Oh, okay, you haven't even seen the weirdest one. One second. Someone in chat's going to know what I'm going for.
Is it the fucking football ones?
No, it's funnier. Okay, I'm going to have to give this to you and chat. Okay, ready, Dev?
No. What?
Huh? Come on. What do you think, Dev?
Okay, I'd have to see it actually transformed. Like, that looks like a cool design, like a Beast Wars kind of vibe, but...
So here's the thing. It is actually a heavy remolding of a modern Cheetor figure. So when you say...
That actually doesn't look bad.
Oh, see, it chats like, oh, this isn't real. Mark's playing a prank. No, it's real.
Okay, I kind of want that now.
Wait, and remember, it is a two-pack, so it comes with...
I don't care about the fucking frog.
Oh, see, I think when you see the full one, it's actually hilarious. Like, that actually looks decent.
It is.
But yeah, there are so many Transformers crossover stuff nowadays. There's so many, like, let's see, the Sonic ones. I still think one of the best ones, though, honestly, they did the Turtle Van. And it came with changeable head pieces so you can make the robot look like any of the turtles.
Neat. Oh, now they need to make one of, like, the Ghostbusters van, too.
They did.
Oh, shit.
One second, where is it? I will show you in chat the Ghostbusters. Okay, wait, hold it. There's one. One sec, I'm pulling it up at Dev's request. Oh, they've done two. And then they did a repaint of Optimus Prime. So, chat, you guys have to pick if you want the first version of... Actually, I'm just going to show you the second one, because that's the better one. There's that. There you go, chat. And are you ready for the repaint they did of Optimus Prime?
Yes.
There you go, Dev.
That's a little boring, but okay.
I think there was even a comic mini-series about this. I think.
That I'm not surprised about whatsoever.
No. Okay. Okay, that is, okay, chat, you got any last questions you have while we do the last question, which weirdly was about toys, but we somehow never actually got to. Do you think Digimon could have a huge toy line again the way it did when the first shows ran? No. I just don't think there are toy lines quite like that anymore. Like, Dev, you remember, like, you would go into a toy store and there'd just be a wall of Digimon toys.
Yes. Like, even the as big as Pokemon is... When I go to, like, a big box store, there's, like, 2 feet of space for Pokemon toys.
Yeah, it's hard to quantify, to tell people, like, just how many Digimon toys you would see.
Yeah, there's, like, no section gets, like, any. No series, I feel like, gets as enough toys, like, in general, as there used to be in, like, the early 2000s and
Well, that's because private equity destroyed KB Toys and Toys R Us.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there's a Toys R Us pop-up shop at my mall.
Is it good?
It has some calendars in it.
Are there any good toys in it? That's a sad-sounding no, Dev.
I mean, if you're shopping for, like, someone between the ages of, like, 2 and 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe that is it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like to read? Is Wikimon back up? It was down earlier, someone told me. Oh, it is back up.
When I checked earlier, it was working fine.
Okay, it is back up.
Dorumon, because it's the same color as my new device.
That is a good one. That is a good choice.
Yes.
I can be found at With the Will as always. I think next Monday I'm not available, so we will probably do Sunday based on... When me and Dev thinks makes the most sense, probably Sunday, though.
Yeah, Sunday always works for me, because even my longest work shifts don't go that far.
Okay, so we will catch you guys on Sunday. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. We will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.